And welcome back, everybody. It's time for episode number 2 of The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. I'm John Mordo.
Leon Brown.
Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed our original podcast last week. We're back with a brand new episode. We're going to switch up our focus a little bit. It is the NFL season. We want to talk about that. However, we were supposed to originate things 2 weeks ago when we wanted to do it 2 weeks ago. We want to talk a little high school football. So what we're going to do is kind of start out with high school, and we'll then get back into our pro football picks a little bit later on. But right now, we want to bring in probably the dean of Georgia high school football, especially scoreboard show, especially journalists and announcers, someone who's covered this sport for many years, probably the most authoritative voice on the sport in the state of Georgia. And that, of course, is Mr. Tommy Palmer, host of the syndicated Georgia high school scoreboard show. Mr. Palmer, how are you?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
Doing well, sir. Doing well, sir. Originally, we wanted to talk to you about what you saw and observed at Corky Kell, but since 2 more weeks have elapsed since then, so what has been the biggest surprise to you with 3 weeks gone by in the Georgia high school football season?
That on consecutive games, Buford lost and then Grayson loses. That's probably the biggest surprise to me, and I think probably the most football observers, because I think probably other than 2 or 3 people across the state would have suspected that both of those teams could have made it through the regular season unscathed. I don't know, you know, what that speaks volumes about, whether they're not as good as we thought they were, or if the teams that came from out of town to play them are just that much better. You know, that's they still may be the best teams in their classification in the state. But obviously, Deerfield Beach out of Florida is very good. Those two Riley guys came from there, so that'll tell you what kind of program that is. And the team out of New Jersey, always good football up in the Northeast in New Jersey, in that section up in there.
Exactly. But in the case of Grayson, there has been a lot of press about some interior turmoil going on with this school.
Yeah,
and there's,
right.
Do you think that could be part of the issue? I mean, there was an issue about maybe 2 weeks ago where the team walked out on practice.
Well, they first said they walked out on practice, and then team members said that was an error. They did not walk out. Something happened, because if they were upset with the coach and they didn't put forth the effort, I'm going to tell you something. I really believe this. To be a great football team now in the state of Georgia, and I'm just talking a great football team, you have to have all cylinders clicking on everything. The last thing you need is any kind of disarray. A coach who won the state years ago told me that the way they won it was the community was unified, the football team was unified, the band was unified, and the fans were unified, and the cheerleaders were unified, and everybody was unified. You can't have any dissension among the troops and expect to win a close key game anywhere in the regular season or in the playoffs. It's just going to come back and bite you. That's just the way I look at it. So I don't know what's going on up there, but somebody reported something that was, you know, not kosher.
Exactly. Do you think, but there's still plenty of time for Grayson because they haven't gotten into their region schedule yet, and that's really where everything hinges upon.
Sure. Yeah, well, I think both, as I said, both teams, I don't know that there's anybody any better in the state in their classifications. As I said, let me say that again, they very well could go unscathed the rest of the way in their regions and in their classifications. But I was just really surprised that both of them would lose on the same weekend. I thought that was just very unusual, because I think most people across the state, if you've said, give me 2 teams that will go undefeated in the regular season, the first 2 names out of most people's mouths would have been Grayson and Buford in their classifications, or a Rome, you know, in 5A.
And Rome, they are pretty much going where they left off, and Rome looks like they are the class of 5A right now, even though they got a big...
Yeah, well, you see, you've got Buford and Rome in there. There's a lot of really good football teams in 5A. That's a very tough classification, as is 6A.
Right.
In 7A, you've got Colquitt County, you've got Walton, and North Gwinnett. You know, football is at its apex right now, John, in my opinion, in the state of Georgia, as far as high school football is concerned.
Hey, Tommy, this is Daniel here.
Hey, Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Question for you.
You just sure.
Spoke from Colquitt County. Of course, they look like they're on their way to maybe their fourth straight state title.
Sure.
Is this one of the best dynasties? Need I say dynasty? Is this one of the best dynasties you've ever seen?
Yes, to be honest, in the largest classification, yes, last year. And of course, you know, Rush Probst is never at a loss for words, and I'm very fortunate to be able to do interviews with him. And he told me going into last year, not this year, but last year, that was a rebuilding year. He made the point at that time. He said, if you don't get me this year, they're going to have trouble getting me for about 5 years. Well, that was 2 years ago, and they finished as the runner-up last year in a rebuilding year at 11-4. They returned 75 lettermen this year. So, yeah, I would definitely call it a dynasty, but he's got like 38 seniors this year, but 37 juniors that are playing, and he's got his best, he's got two or three running backs in the sophomore and freshman class that are world class, and he's got two of the top running backs in the country right now who, you know, are just getting it done. I just really think you're going to have to be really good to beat Colquitt. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens when Colquitt County goes to Grayson's home stadium, you know, in week five of the football season. That should be real interesting. But I don't think that'll be the beginning or the end-all for either one if they lose in that particular game, because they may meet twice this year. I just don't know.
Probably the game of the year. Can you give us some sleeper teams in either classification? It doesn't matter. What are some teams that you have your eye on?
Well, I saw Walton last year in the playoffs, and they returned so much, and they're just a first-class football team. North Gwinnett, even though they were the champions last year, nobody expected them to be there. Mill Creek could be considered a sleeper, in my opinion. I'm not really how good things are in Class 6A, but Valdosta now has won two games in a row. So we'll see how good they are, you know, coming down the stretch. But 6A and 5A are just extremely tough. 7A is tough. But I got to tell you something, there's some really good teams in every classification. There are really no sleepers anymore. I don't think we're going to find anybody. An example, when you take a look at the top 100, you've got Blessed Trinity, who really was a sleeper last year in Class 4A. But Blessed Trinity, Marist, Westminster, all those guys, you know, any of them could win the state championship. And one team that just has always been one of the best kept secrets over the last 3 or 4 years, but they haven't made it deep in the playoffs. They've made the playoffs as Morgan County. I think they may make some noise this year. I really do.
Tommy, let's take a look at some of the bottom classifications, like 2A,
sure.
2A or 1A. 2A, okay. You got Hateful Charter coming back. Now, the Hateful Charter has lost a lot of people off that championship squad. Do you think that they may be able to come back, or is 2A looking really wide open?
Well, I really no. 2A is not going to be wide open because you've got too many really good football teams in there. Bremen's very good. Brooks County got taken to the woodshed by Clinch County Friday night, 37-7, and everybody automatically turned their back on them. But I'm going to tell you something. If you saw Clinch County play over the last 4 or 5 years, a team that runs the single wing, which is extremely hard to prepare for, and Brooks is very good. Thomasville, even though they got taken to the woodshed by Colquitt, Thomasville is a very good Double-A football team. Region 1A's got some really good teams in it. Region 2A, a Vidalia is really good this year. Swainsboro is one of those sleeper football teams in Region 2A. They're going to be very good as well. But I really think that Raven County is going to be good again, and the folks that have been good in AA. You know, Benedictine has gone up to Class AAA, which has kind of opened the door or some others, but Dodge County's in there. As I said, Swainsboro, Vidalia, Fitzgerald,
Dublin.
Thomasville, Early County may be a lot better than most people think. A lot of people don't know. See, we don't know much about the inside situations on why teams lose.
Right.
But Thomas County Central, who's in a rebuilding process, really beat Early County very, very tough in the first game. But what most people didn't realize was that after the first two or three series, Early County lost their snapper, you know, and in a spread option, if you don't have your first team in there down in Double A, you're in a mess. But anyway, what happened was they had four or five fumbles that killed drives, and Thomas County Central got some turnovers. Well, the next week, Early County goes over and beats Eufaula, Alabama, 28-3, and then they shut out Cook of Adel 17-0 the other night on Friday. So they're sitting there 2-1 down in that region 1AA. So, listen, there's just good football teams everywhere.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, there is. Speaking with Tommy Palmer, host of the Georgia High School Scoreboard Show, syndicated every Friday night during the fall throughout the state of Georgia on the high school season. Tommy, as we're talking, I noticed you're mentioning a lot of out-of-state teams that Georgia teams have played. That seems to be a point of emphasis in the last couple of years. So just to kind of expand the brand, if you'll forgive the expression, that really seems to be where everything is going now in the next couple seasons.
Well, I think what has happened is, if you'll think about it, in since we've gone to seven classifications, that's kind of diluted the region schedule a little bit. You've got 32 teams sitting up in the largest classification, and then you've got that trickle-down theory. If you were still in six classifications, you'd have larger region schedules, and that's not the case anymore. So they're having to go to a lot of places to be able to get games to make a schedule. And I think that's probably it more than anything. I wouldn't be surprised to see them bring it back down to 6A, you know, and then, you know, seven classifications with A public and private, and then back down to six to class AA. I just think it's going to happen. It may happen in the next recycle. Because a lot of people just really can't find games, and they're having to drive hundreds of miles to get games. And everybody can't play these prestigious ESPN and classics as everything is happening. You know, and
yeah.
if you'll think back, even 3 or 4 years ago, the early games were the Corky Kell Classic. But now everybody's got a classic, you know. And opening week, we had probably 150 games, which was very unusual, you know, for
right.
our school board show. We generally didn't start until the week after the Corky Kell, but we moved up our start date simply because there were so many games going on.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up, it's week four. What's the big contest you're looking at?
Gosh, there are so many. Hold on just a second and let me get my schedule. I was going over that earlier because I knew you were going to ask me that.
Okay, well, I think Roman Kell is probably going to be a big one. That's in Region 6 of 6A.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge one. That's going to decide
Stevens,
that region.
Stevens, in a non-region game, Stevens County and Raven County is
okay.
going to be a good one. That should be a good football game. You've got Marist and Westminster. You've got Benedictine out of Savannah and Blessed Trinity in at Blessed Trinity, which I think is going to be a going to be a dandy.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Sandy Creek is back, and they'll be playing Ridgeland this week. Let me go on through here and find some others that I think would be worthy of it. I tell you, a team that's really surprised everybody is Monroe Area. They're doing very well.
Right.
You got Rome and Kell this week. You have, let's see, St. Pius. No, that's not. Okay, St. Pius, that's good. But that wouldn't be considered a key game. I'm trying to find the key games.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Troop and Harris County should be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's continue along here. Hold on just a minute. I'm scrolling if you
okay.
wonder what I'm doing.
That's okay. Okay.
I'm going through my schedule. Yeah, you have to.
Well,
Houston County and Peach County, Coffee and Terravella, Florida. That'll tell us how good Coffee is.
Yes, it
they're
will.
They're sitting there at number two, but that's another one of those out-of-town ones. And generally, they play tough out-of-town stuff. Archer and Mill Creek should be a good one. Mm-hmm. Norcross and North Gwinnett will be a good one.
That will be a good
one. Who else? Grayson and Marietta might be a dandy. That one could be 50-49. So that should be a good one. You've got Tift County and Crisp County, and the biggie in South Georgia is Valdosta and Colquitt County. So those are some of the big games this week, John.
Okay, well, Tommy, I don't want to monopolize all your time, so I got one more question for you. And I don't know if Daniel's got
Okay.
One more question. It just seems like to me, looking at the overall state of the GHSA, it seems like in there's always seems to be something that comes up during the playoffs, be it the weather at Mercedes-Benz, be it the basket issue in the basketball tournaments in Macon a couple of years ago, and then there was that issue in baseball where they had the injunction against the team preventing a series from progressing. It just seems to me that in terms of the playoffs, GHSA is really having trouble getting out of its own way.
I disagree with you totally.
Okay.
Let me explain to you why.
Okay.
Anytime you're trying to oversee, and GHSA has very little to do with the regular season
right.
at all, unless
right.
there is some sort of appeal or something to that degree. They're only responsible for the playoffs. And when you have that many teams participating in that many sports, you're always going to have some bumps in the road. It's like, you know, we have police departments and we have sheriff's departments and all this, but there's always something going on. And when you have that many schools, 400 and what now, 25, 26, something like that, 400 and something schools, you're always going to have issues like a pitch count thing that they had last year in Class A baseball.
Right.
There's always something. And you can't control the weather.
Right.
You know, there's nothing they could have done about the Mercedes-Benz thing. There was absolutely nothing they could do, and they didn't have an alternative, so they put them back, you know, on campus, which was the right thing to do, and they had to hold over the season another week. But let me tell you something. For the issues they get, and I know a good bit about this because, you know, I'm not privy to it, but I keep up with it.
Right.
There are a minimum of interruptions for the problems that are dealt with on a daily basis for GHSA. In my opinion, it's just, you know, it's life, as I like to say.
Yes.
You know, we deal with problems that come up, and they just have to deal with the problems of 425 or 430 children, as I call them. So you think about the numbers they're dealing with on a daily basis, and there's always going to be an issue.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. Tommy Palmer, thank you very much for joining us. I hope to have you back sometime during the rest of the season.
Thank you for inviting me, and you guys have a great day. Thanks for being a part of it. I appreciate it.
No problem. That was Tommy Palmer. He runs the scoreboard show of the Georgia High School Scoreboard Show, the preeminent syndicated scoreboard show in the state of Georgia. All things high school football. Pretty much knows everything there is to know about the sport, and it was just very welcome to kind of pick his brain for about 20 minutes, and that went a little longer than I wanted to, but I think it turned out okay, Daniel.
Well, I think it was something that we said, especially that last question you asked about everything that's been going on.
Right.
With the GHSA in the playoffs, that was a great question. I never really thought of that.
Okay. And the gentleman is well informed.
He is. I mean, he knows everything. And like I said, I had a bunch of questions that I wanted to ask him. I wanted to ask him about Jaden Hazelwood, the number one wide receiver in the country out of Cedar Grove, because you don't think of Cedar Grove, which is a small, relatively small school in Metro Atlanta, as having the number one type player in a certain position across pretty much every recruiting service.
Jonathan
McCrary, he went to Vanderbilt, but he kind of got a couple bumps in the road. I think he went down to D2. Yes, we did. Yep. So we always seem to find the good players. You and I. All right. This is the last three guys to do a podcast: John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Leon kind of sat out that interview, and you know. But we're not going to, because he said, you know, he really wasn't up on the high school game like Daniel and I were. So, Leon, we're going to let you take the lead now for our next segment.
Well, I want to, you know, being that this is the NFL.
Right.
You know, I like to, you know, jump head first into that. First, I want to get on the fact this Khalil Mack situation that the Raiders, I believe, fumbled.
Well, of course they did. I mean, because Khalil Mack, they wanted to get him in, but apparently they couldn't come to terms on an agreement, so they shunted him off to the Raiders, and to the Bears. And that's going to drastically change the NFC North power structure, because now the Bears their defense has just gone up a couple of notches. And I know Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be looking over his shoulder, Matthew Stafford, all the quarterbacks in that particular division.
Adding him to that defensive line may have made Chicago the best defense, giving them that Bears defense that we all know and love, or used to know and love,
right.
Probably the best pass rusher in the NFL right now. So, and of course, there was a lot of inside stuff that was happening. He was never in contact with anybody within the Oakland Raiders organization.
Right.
So, was it a fact that you had to get rid of him because of that? Or, I mean, what did you do in that situation?
I believe egos clashed.
I do too.
Right.
You know, you have management probably had this "how dare you" attitude, you know, a bit snobbish. But as far as the Bears, I mean, imagine how huge this is for the Bears. I mean, you have the Bears who lost Brian Urlacher to retirement, who's now a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to think that you could replace a Hall of Famer in less than 3 years?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the NFL blessing right there. Absolutely, they're known for their linebackers from the days of Mike Singletary.
Dickens was a tight end, but he played like a linebacker.
Right. So we're talking about a long line of great defensive players. And I said, you know, certain Hall of Famers you just don't replace them. They're not replaced that easy like that so fast. I mean, you look at teams like the Miami Dolphins, for example. They have yet to replace Dan Marino. You know, and I think they've had 19 quarterbacks?
Yep.
But you know what I was going to say to that, but then I thought about it, there's really no excuse with it. It's Dan Marino. But the Green Bay Packers would say, well, we had Brett Favre, but we got Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
So
and the San Francisco 49ers, we had Joe Montana. We went straight to Steve Young.
Exactly.
Right. But that was well planned, too.
Exactly.
You know, with the Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack kind of fell into their lap.
Yeah, he did.
You know, they were lucky. I mean, you look at certain teams have tried to, you know, they've planned for certain situations like that. You know, the Patriots tried to do it with Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. You know, but unfortunately, you know, I guess with – you know, Tom Brady and management kind of usurped Bill Belichick.
Well, Tom thought that, you know, Tom was in no hurry to leave. And
right.
Jimmy Garoppolo was starting to chafe a little bit. He wanted his shot.
Right.
Tom's like, you know, I'm going to still be here for another 3, 4, 5 years. And so they said, you know, probably best thing for you to do is leave. And I think that's what happened.
I'll tell you what about Khalil Mack, though. He's paid, man.
Absolutely. Man,
highest paid defensive player in league history.
Well worth it. Speaking
and,
of paid, oh,
and,
go ahead.
Well, no, I got one more point. We were talking a little bit, and things. Chicago opens up Sunday night at the Packers in Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
So, but really, is Khalil Mack going to be enough comfortable in that defense to really make a difference, or is Aaron Rodgers going to get lucky and avoid him for a week?
That's a good question. Man, that's a great question. Because now we get to see what kind of freakish athlete this guy is. You know, are they just going to let him go? Just let him go off and just, listen, your job is to just straight go after Aaron Rodgers. Nothing else until you learn his playbook.
Right.
He has been out of sync. He hasn't played any preseason games. He probably hasn't even practiced none. But, you know, I can see your point with that, John.
Yeah.
So we give him, what, a 3-game learning curve?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. 3 games would have to be enough. There's only 16 games in the regular season.
Right.
So it would have to be enough for him to get that hurt. And you better hope he doesn't get hurt.
Man, but speaking of getting paid.
Right.
Let's shift it to the East Coast. Mr. Odell Beckham.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
Got his money.
Yeah, he got his money.
if you're Giants management, would you have, because it seemed, you know, to be honest with you, they caved.
The Giants?
I believe they caved, because, you know, at first they were like, hey, we don't know.
Yeah.
We have the controversial video that surfaced. Sure. You know, granted, it was during his off season. Granted, it was in a whole another continent.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, Friday. It's out there.
Right.
You know, he's a young man, you know.
Well, if you're Atlanta, what you're more concerned about is how is this going to affect Julio Jones's contract negotiations over the offseason.
Oh.
No question, big time.
Yeah, because now Arthur Blank's going to have to dig even deeper in his pocketbook for that.
They have to back up about 5
Brinks trucks. Oh, right. Man, because Julio Jones, because at the same time, Julio Jones means the same thing to Atlanta's offense as Odell Beckham means to the Giants, as Antonio Brown means to Pittsburgh.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. Here's my thing about this. I think we've never seen a receiver with this much athletic ability ever. I don't think we've ever seen it. I mean, you know, kudos, you know, barring Randy Moss and T.O., me and you are going to talk about them in a little while. But Moss and T.O., of course, they wouldn't dim stack. But this guy can get up and grab a ball behind his back. And that's the kind of athletic.
And his skill set.
Yeah.
Skill
set. He can run the outside. Exactly. He could play. You could put him in a slot.
He is such a freak of nature. He's like a LeBron.
Absolutely.
To the NBA, you know. Here's my thing about this. Get your money, young man. But all I could think about was that wild card playoff game against Green Bay.
Mm.
He was nowhere to be found.
Lay the egg.
Yep.
He was nowhere to be found, and Eli Manning put it there for him to get that. When certain players, when they had that, like my uncle always said, when that spotlight is on you, whether if it's a Sunday night game, whether if it's a playoff game, a Monday night game, when those bright lights come on, you don't know how to react to it. That was my whole thing. Listen, they only been to the playoffs, but they only had that one playoff game.
Right.
I believe the Giants are probably expected to be a better team than last year.
Absolutely.
Especially with the drafting of Saquon Barkley out of Penn State. So, and they had a great draft. So they're expected to at least challenge for a playoff spot, not the division. The Eagles are going to run away with that division. But If they can get there and he can make those plays like we've seen him make, like we saw him make that Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
If he can make plays like that in the postseason, then I'm fine with that.
And that's what the Giants are paying for. They're paying for, you know, that's really the difference, in my opinion, between the stars and the superstars.
That's why they call them that.
Right. The superstars, when the money is on the table, when the playoffs are here, the superstars perform. You know, we've seen this with you know, even let's cross sports with James Worthy with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. He was known to really boost his average up during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
He's known for that. That's what people are paying for. When we've seen this year with Dwayne Wade, how he kind of was like I wouldn't equate the word no show with Dwayne Wade. But during the regular season, you know, he didn't really have much of a good regular season this year.
Right.
But during those playoffs, this man is almost dropping 30 points.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
That's what people pay for.
You're right.
You know, so with Odell Beckham, that's what the Giants are paying for. The same thing with Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, giving him all that guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kirk Cousins has zero playoff experience. He's never led his team.
But that's why Matt Ryan, and that's why everybody is saying, oh, why did Matt Ryan get all this? That's why Matt Ryan got his money.
Right, he shows up.
Matt Rogers just got his money.
He has, as a matter of fact, Matt Ryan got his bones in the playoffs.
Yes.
Exactly.
The only problem, he was undone by terrible play calling, and that's not his fault.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not his fault.
That was not his fault.
And getting back to the Giants, they start with Jacksonville in MetLife Stadium.
So Jalen Ramsey versus Odell Beckham Jr.
So the Giants will go 0-1, and so they're going to have to really kind of recover from that.
And Jacksonville makes it ugly.
Yes.
They do make it ugly on you.
And Jacksonville is, and you're right about that, John, because Jacksonville is so far ahead of the Giants right now.
Right.
Jacksonville is probably one of the Super Bowl favorites.
You're talking about an angry Jacksonville right now.
Angry Jacksonville team should have probably been there last
year. Absolutely.
I'm just glad we don't have Dallas and the Giants like we seemingly had every opening week for the past 4 years on NBC on that Sunday night. I'm just glad they finally got a different game on. Yeah. Well, we got the Jets and Lions on Monday night, and the Battle of Los Angeles, Rams and Raiders.
Yep.
But still, that 7-10 Jets and Lions game. Ooh, that's not really sure about that one.
I need the Lions.
Obviously, I would have put the Giants and the Jaguars on that.
Yeah, I would have done that too.
You know, I would have done that.
Because the Lions have in my opinion.
Lions, it's Stafford and nobody else.
Right, I mean, but in my opinion, Stafford has been like the largest disappointment.
Really?
Ever. When is this the last time? Okay.
Two words, Calvin Johnson.
But even when he had him. Even when he had him, you know, Stafford is a career under 500 quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
Yet and still, he has a 9-figure contract.
You got to win the games.
You know, this man, and when it comes down, you know, people might question stats, all right?
I think he may not be flashy, but I think he's steady. They know he can handle it.
Right.
It comes down to W's, in my opinion, W's, L's, and playoffs.
Right.
And when it comes to the W's and the L's outweigh the W's.
In the regular season?
In the Matthew, yes.
Okay.
In the Matthew Stafford department, let's not even talk about the playoffs.
Because he's only been there, twice?
Right. And this man has a 9-figure contract. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm saying, you know, I'm a bit biased in this one, but I'm going to have to take it off. Phillip Rivers.
Go ahead.
My favorite quarterback, that is my guy. All right? Phillip Rivers, since LT has left the Chargers in 2009, has been to the playoffs one time. Okay, that's one time in almost 10 years.
That was 2 years ago, right? They made it 2 years.
2013 was longer than that. Was 5 years ago, sir. Back when Peyton Manning was with the Broncos.
Oh my goodness.
When they got spanked by the Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
That's the last time we've been to the playoffs. So
it just seems like they've been like
we've been 8-8, we've been 7-9.
Yeah.
You know, we've
and spoiled a couple of playoff chances.
Right. Our playoffs were like was week 14 to 15 and 16.
Right.
You know, I'm saying this as I'm a confirmed Charger fan. You know, die hard. So when it comes down to it, you know, we're looking at W's, L's and playoffs. And you got certain, you know, not to digress the topic too, sir, but that just kind of it. You know, you have a lot of these players are heaping this praise based on stats, but I think the main stat is the W's, L's, and playoffs. And if you're not, and for some players, they're expected to even perform a little more because you know you got players like Matt Ryan,
mm-hmm.
who you know he. Matt Ryan in playoffs has just become synonymous. I believe Matt Ryan has only missed the playoffs one time.
Twice.
Right. And, you know, just he's held to a higher standard.
And looking at the Chargers, Antonio Gates looks like he's coming back to the team. And he's 38. But I think that their opening game with the Chiefs is probably one of the most interesting games of week one
major implications in that game right there.
We don't know. Start off the AFC West opponent.
Major opponent.
Well, I can pretty much tell you the games that we're going to get in the Atlanta market on week one. We're going to get the Buccaneers Saints on the main Fox game. The main CBS game will be the Texans Patriots.
Yeah.
And then the secondary Fox game will be the Cowboys and Panthers.
Joe and Troy.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing I want to get to, the our favorite whipping boys, the Cleveland Browns. They're hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I'm sure you've seen this. Budweiser has got a little promotion going where they've got these huge coolers. They set them up throughout the city, and they're locked. And they will only be unlocked after the Browns win. So I say to you, I ask you this. Opening up free beers throughout the city of Cleveland, is there any way this can go horribly wrong?
It can't. I don't see how. This team is so much on paper. This team is so much better. I think they are. I think they're so much better. Not so much better. Let's not say. I think they're better.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think they're going to go 0-16 and none of those damn coolers are going to open. Okay? if that happens, I need to make a bet or something like that. If the Browns go 0-16,
I'm just saying, is it a good idea to award free beer to a long-suffering franchise's fans?
I'll be honest with you.
So you get a free beer if they win a game?
All these coolers will open up, and whoever gets them can get as much free beer as they can carry.
And watch the Browns win 10 games.
Man,
so now what are you going to do? It's the Cleveland Browns, right? They've never seek to amaze. And they're going to mess around and probably win 10 games this year.
Man.
Because they are, to me, they're a better football team.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we all have to go out here and play the game.
Exactly.
We have to go out here and play the game.
Exactly.
Let's look at Cleveland's. Let's look at Cleveland's schedule here.
All right.
They start off with
Pittsburgh. Exactly. Even though it is in Cleveland, and
that's in Cleveland.
It is in Cleveland. Like I said, it should be an interesting ball game, if only because we've got that promotion. And who are they going to throw in? Are they going to put their number one quarterback in there? Are they going to put Baker Mayfield under center in that game?
I think they will, because we don't know what Tyrod Taylor's status will be. He did hurt himself in that baseball game. Thought it was the Indians and the Phillies playing at that 5-0 victory.
Right.
They got in the preseason. He did hurt himself. He dislocated his pinky.
Okay.
So we don't know his status for week one. Taylor was supposed to be the starter, and they would probably, and if Tyrod Taylor faltered, then they was going to go to Mayfield. But I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, so I think they're going to start Tyrod.
Okay.
They're going to start him.
Let's look at Cleveland's schedule. Though.
Yeah, after that Steeler game, it's at the Saints and then home with the Jets. So I
that's
think
very one.
I think that week three game would probably be the best shot for that first win.
I'll be rooting for him week two.
I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
Let's see. Week two is winnable but unlikely.
Because it's in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's unlikely they're going to win that. That Jets game, though, that's very winnable.
That Oakland game has now become
big. Oakland is very winnable.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore is very winnable.
Then you're not going to beat the Chargers.
I don't think they're going to beat the Chargers either.
They have a shot against the Chargers.
Then
they may beat Tampa Bay. There's just so much stuff going on with Tampa Bay.
Then it's welcome to the Terror Dome after that.
Yeah. Yes, back to Pittsburgh.
Right. Back to Pittsburgh. Then you got Kansas City.
You know what? I think their season is pretty done after this.
And Atlanta. Then they got Cincinnati's winnable. Then depends where Houston is at. We're going to be discussing Houston later on in the show. Then they got Carolina, Denver. I give the Jets 6-10, which is a 600%
increase
from last year. Hugh Jackson still gets fired at the end of the year. And
third year, correct?
Yes, and he's 1-31.
Yeah.
It's
really barbecue. It's barbecue mildew for the Browns. Either they're going 6-10 or they're going to surprise us. I said the same. You know, I'll be honest with you. I said the same thing about Atlanta the year 2 years ago when Atlanta went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Atlanta Falcons based because you guys had I'm talking about you guys had a buzzsaw of a schedule that year. I mean, you guys had a
terrible schedule.
Yeah.
The schedule was brutal. Every game is a playoff. Man, and you guys came out of that thing. What was the record? 12-4? 12-4 in Super Bowl. And based on all the hardship you guys went to, it's been when you guys got to the playoffs, hey, we've been in the playoffs all year.
Right.
And then with and then with this division you guys have, it's the SEC of the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The NFC South, man. That team down in that city. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
I know.
In Carolina.
Right.
And in Tampa Bay. Listen, Tampa Bay is every year. Every year I pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be in that conversation somewhere. And every year it's like they're 5-6-10, 5-11, 4-12, whatever they are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I always pick them to be a dangerous team every year because I think Jameis Winston could be very good when he's in the lineup.
You right.
And when he's healthy. So, and listen, I think, again, this year, we could still have three NFC South. I think I said that.
Right.
When we did, like, one of our prep-up shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of interesting because everyone's saying that the Saints have such a hard schedule. They're playing so many playoff teams. Well, of course they are. They get four right in our, they get four right off the bat.
Yeah. And they won a division.
Right. And they'll get the three winners from the other divisions. They'll get Minnesota.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to, of course they've got the hardest schedule coming in. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about that.
Okay. So, again, so that's kind of where we're standing here with the NFL. Again, we're just kind of randomly going from, we're just kind of seeing what we think is going to be the stories in week one and down the line, what things we're going to have to be watching at, what we're, as fans, what we're looking at, what we're seeing as possible storylines developing for this NFL season as on a national basis. That's kind of where we're coming at right now. Because really, the three of us, we sort of have a certain team that we follow, but really we just kind of like trying to take a blanket look at everything. So,
and it's going to be very exciting. I mean, you could kind of feel it. You know, it's going to be a very exciting season.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. It's kind of a very interesting year with everything else that's going on. So we talked a little bit about week one storylines. We talked a little bit about the latest news that's going on with Odell Beckham, with Khalil Mack, with Antonio Gates, talking about that. And again, today is cut. Well, yesterday was cut day. So looking over the cuts, and I'm just going to be talking about this for a second. Interesting cut out of Denver. Paxton Lynch has been released. And I don't see that as too much of a shock. He really wasn't doing it for them.
Denver has been at a serious problem at quarterback the last 3 years, you know, so that they really just can't get it together at that position that they probably have now.
So this is the question. What does that say for Mr. Elway's job, especially in light of with him kind of blundering the Colin Kaepernick situation for the NFL? He's going to cost the NFL some money. And on top of that, you know, he's proven as an executive to, you know, when it comes down to W's and L's.
Well, this year and maybe the next 2 years, he has to hit a home run.
Is John Elway in the hot seat?
He got Case Keenum.
Yeah.
And remember, Case Keenum was the story from Minnesota last year, so he has to hit a home run on that one.
And Case Keenum's career is on a hot seat right now because
–
they're looking at – people are looking at what happened in Minnesota as a – they're blaming him.
Right.
They said that was a major egg that he laid in the NFC Championship.
NFC Championship, which – that – I don't know. I believe that the Eagles were just that good. And needless to say, if you remember last week's game, that was such an emotional high. For that – that catch to Stephon Diggs, come on, man, they weren't supposed to win that game like that, okay?
Right.
And you go in, run into the end zone, you score a touchdown, and everybody's just going wild. They were still on an emotional high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not giving the Vikings any excuses or anything like that, but the way that they came in and the way the Eagles played against Atlanta the following week, but the Eagles, that was a dogfight between Atlanta and Philly, but they did something that they should have, that they did against Atlanta, and that slowed them down.
Right.
keep them off the board because nobody in this league, probably other than New England or Pittsburgh, can outscore Atlanta like that.
And when it comes to Minnesota, I mean, to me, their front office is so incompetent. I mean, my goodness. First of all, you guys draft Teddy Bridgewater, who was just recently who was cut, you cut the man. Then they send him to the Jets.
Now the Jets send him to the Saints.
And then the Jets send him to the Saints, which, you know, in my personal opinion, makes sense because Drew Brees is now 81 years old now in NFL years. He can still sling that thing, but, you know.
And it makes sense. Let me touch you. It makes sense because I don't think Bridgewater is 100% mentally as far as the injury goes. I don't think he's mentally ready, or he might not think he's ready. He's not ready physically.
I think that the Minnesota Vikings made a mistake in getting rid of Teddy Bridgewater because I'm thinking, you guys didn't upgrade. You got Kirk Cousins, who has been in Washington and has produced nothing.
I'm with you on that one. Nothing. With you on Kirk Cousins.
No, you're right.
You know, he's better off. My goodness. I mean, you gave him, they gave him Super Bowl money. They gave Kirk Cousins money. The type of money he got is the most guaranteed. This man has more guaranteed money than Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I got a question for both of you real quick. Who's blitz is under the hot seat this year as far as quarterbacks go? Who's under more pressure, Kirk Cousins or Case Keenum?
Kirk Cousins.
I think Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Kirk Cousins.
Because more is expected of his team than I think that Case Keenum is in Denver.
Right. I don't think Denver, some people have Denver winning the division. Everybody has Minnesota just about. Minnesota or Green Bay.
Right.
Winning the division. So I can see that.
What if Minnesota doesn't win their division?
What if they don't make the playoffs?
Well,
and then if they go to the playoffs, we're talking about the gauntlet that is the NFC right now.
The NFC is good, man.
Yeah, it is.
With a quarterback with zero playoff experience.
Yep.
So you give me zero playoff experience, plus a huge payday.
You're bored about that, aren't you?
Yes. I don't like that. I just don't get it for the life of me. What are you guys doing? And then. With the Teddy Bridgewater situation, with a guy like that who was a starting quarterback at one point in time, you got to trade him to the Jets. Which I believe with the Jets, they kind of believe in Sam Darnold. They believe in him, so therefore they don't win.
Well, they drafted him high,
so they're not trying to waste their time with, you know, because he's going to screw up the first four. He's going to screw up, and you know how New York fans get. You know, they want the results now.
Yep.
So, they'll be clamoring to put Teddy Bridgewater in, which the Jets management doesn't want that. So, they send him, instead of sending him somewhere where he can play, like Jacksonville, which I believe he can be a tremendous upgrade to Blake Bortles, they send him somewhere where he will not play this year.
Yeah.
Barring something catastrophic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not going to play this year. So, in my opinion, Teddy Bridgewater can very, because you know Drew Brees, he has the Tom Brady syndrome. You're gonna have to force him into retirement.
Yeah, he's not gonna go willingly into that good night.
No.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's bring this a little closer to home.
Okay.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Their offense in the preseason was a giant nuclear waste pile. I had to watch that whole game with Baltimore. I wanted to gouge my eyes out because football got set back about 30 years. Are any of you guys worried that we haven't seen any Julio Jones? We haven't seen any Devontae Freeman. We saw a little bit of Matt Ryan, just a little Susson. Does the Atlanta Falcons offense concern you at all?
No.
At all.
All right.
Not at all.
I am a believer that in the preseason, you do not exploit what you have coming to you in the season. Don't do it. If Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman are the guys that are probably going to get us there as far as offense goes, right? Of course, you got got Sanu and Hooper. If Hooper can catch the ball this year.
Calvin Ridley.
You got those guys. And the only reason why Ridley played is because we have to see him play.
Yes. You know? Yeah, the rookies have to get in.
Yeah. I don't want for the guy who was probably up for a record contract next year, Julio Jones, to blow his knee out in the preseason. I don't want him to do it. Don't need him to do it. We know what Julio Jones has to offer us, you know?
All right.
We know what Freeman has to offer us. I think that this was just like a sprinting job, which is what the preseason is anyway.
Okay.
You normally see, like, that fourth game.
Yes.
There was no one out. There weren't even second stringers out there.
Well, they had the quarterback Bankert. I had never heard of this gentleman before he came to. I think he was just on the team for that game.
Yeah.
And then the Falcons immediately cut him yesterday. Yeah, so
I'm not concerned at all, John. I think the offense is going to roll, especially with Ridley. I was concerned when we lost Taylor Gabriel, but Ridley may seem like a great replacement. Now that third preseason game really didn't look good at all.
Right.
Dropped a couple of passes. Wasn't sure of himself and whatnot. I think that was against the.
That was Jacksonville. I was up in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he had a chance to really show up. But he did in that second preseason game against Kansas City. So he looked right there. But then that's just what it is when you're talking about your backs and receivers. You're going to have a good game one day. That next week you might just have a bad day. Or you might run into a great defense. So I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned with Atlanta. There are some games on the schedule that I'm concerned about. But other than that, I think they should be fine.
Honestly, with that fourth preseason game, the fact is, if you're a season ticket holder, they kind of force you into buying it. And really, the only reason why you would want to go to that fourth preseason game is it's a Thursday, so the Chick-fil-A is going to be opened.
Yeah.
In Mercedes-Benz. So, I mean, that's really about the only reason why you would want to go to that.
So let me ask you this. Because this has been a looming question in the NFL. How many games should they cut? Or should they just cut the preseason out?
No, I think it's
first of all, they're not going to because they're too wedded to the money.
Yeah.
They're too wedded to the money. The other alternative is make it 18 game season, but that's a non-starter for the players union because the players union is going to say, "Okay, we want more money."
Exactly.
So, we're going to it's a logjam. It's an impasse, a stalemate. We're going to be like this simply because there is no other alternative that will satisfy everybody.
And especially with the CTE scare that's going around the NFL right now, I mean, 18 games would just increase that.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I definitely wouldn't go 18 games. If I was to be selfish, sure.
Right.
Because right.
I want to see more football.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to see more football, but when you start bringing that in, what you said, I would just leave it at that.
Because let's look at college football, for example.
Sure.
We've got, exactly, Leon. We've got college. We even got high school football. We've got enough football to satisfy us.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to, when you have things like quarterback controversies, you know, and we could go to the backyard and look at Georgia right now. Georgia has a serious quarterback controversy right now with
Justin Fields and Jake Fromm.
And my, you know, my nephew and I were talking about this earlier. You know, Jake Fromm is a Heisman candidate, and he might not even have a job in the next 3 weeks.
Well,
and he might. It's very possible that the coach could be thinking like, "Hey, man, the coach is thinking about his job too."
Well,
and they're throwing them both in. They're, but if college football had a better preseason, you know,
Austin Peay is the preseason.
Yeah.
Like for Georgia Tech, Alcorn
right.
State. There's your preseason game,
but
unfortunately for Georgia, they don't have the luxury of a preseason game number two because you got South Carolina in Columbia next week.
So they got to know where they got to know. And Georgia is one of those teams that is expected to go to the Final Four every year. They're expected. Georgia the standard is so high, and not to digress, everybody. We're going to get back to NFL. This ties into what we're talking about, but. And far as the relevance of the preseason, how necessary it is for games, you know. But with teams like, you know, when you look at Georgia, you have a quarterback controversy. They have to evaluate their quarterbacks during the regular season with things on the line. And I say during the NFL, the luxury of the NFL is that you have four games. You look at teams like the Cleveland Browns, what we were discussing earlier. I think those four preseason games are very crucial for Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
You know, we have
competitions.
We have competitions.
Roster fillers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's mainly for.
And with teams like the Atlanta Falcons, which they're looking at the preseason for Atlanta Falcons is similar to the regular season for the Cleveland Cavaliers when they had LeBron.
Right.
They're just trying to get rid of it. Everybody knew that, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers they could have finished like Dallas like Dallas Mavericks did in 2011. They finished sixth in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And ambush everybody in the playoffs.
Right.
Everybody knows that the Atlanta Falcons are playing possum during the everybody knows that.
Okay.
The Super Bowl will be in Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons are very cognizant of that. You know, they are I think they have a bone to pick. They still have a bone to pick with New England. With the whole NFL, the Atlanta Falcons are still a very angry team, especially the way they lost in the playoffs last year by just a play to the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Atlanta's sitting there seething right now. Yes.
Let's break down real quick.
Well, before we do that, I just want to mention, yes, the Super Bowl is in Atlanta. So if you are a restaurant owner or a business owner with downtown property and you want three guys to be there podcasting live during the Super Bowl week, get traffic to your establishment, contact us here. We are the last three guys to do a podcast. John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Hit us up at John_Morgo. We'll be sure to help you out and give you all the publicity you need. Go.
Exactly. How about this? We got about 4 minutes to go, guys. Let's go ahead and break down the eight divisional winners and our four wild card teams and pick the Super Bowl. Who's going to be in Super Bowl 53? I'll start it off. I'll start with the AFC West. We'll roll with the AFC first. I have in the West, I have the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to win the West. In the South, I have Jacksonville and the Texans. They're going to be tied for that division victory, but I have the Jaguars winning that division, Pittsburgh winning the North, and of course New England. They're the only team in that division, so they're going to win that division.
That's very hard to argue against that. I go with Kansas City over San Diego, and depending on how Deshaun Watson comes back from his ACL, that's going to tell us if it's going to be Houston or Jacksonville.
My two wild card teams, Kansas City and the Texans.
Okay. All right, I've got the same, just a little switched around.
All right, let's see out the AFC East.
You don't have to.
Oh, okay. We know.
I'm about to say.
It's not going to be the Jets. It's not going to be the Dolphins. It's not going to be the Bills.
Yeah, it's going to be the same guys. The New England. Yeah. Those guys.
I bet you ain't gonna say it, but
it's going to be them.
Yeah.
The AFC North. I'm gonna go against the grind on this one. I'm gonna swing for the fence, and you guys might call me crazy. But I'm going Pittsburgh Steelers. That's going to win the North as expected. But my wild card team, I'm running with the Cleveland Browns.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I like. I know. It's out there. It's out there. I put it out there. AFC South. Depending how the quarterback situation works out in Houston. I'm gonna run with Houston to win that division. But I'm kind of depending on the quarterback situation in Houston. But if the quarterback situation in Houston does not pan out the way we think it's going to pan out, I'm running with Jacksonville.
Okay.
And there's another quarterback there that in Indiana that we're going to talk about him next week.
Okay.
In the AFC West, I'm not trying to be a homer because I'm a Charter fan. And it's Charters or nothing, despite what was discussed earlier. But I feel with the recent mental fumble that the Oakland Raiders management just caused, I appreciate them for that one. But I believe that due to that, the Chargers will win our division. I do not believe in Denver because of their quarterback controversy. And the Kansas City Chiefs had no business in the playoffs last year. And I believe that the Chargers will remind them of that. So I'm running with the Chargers win the division. And I'm picking Kansas City to be the wild card.
So you're leaving Jacksonville out of the playoffs? Or the Texans?
One of those two are not going to make the playoffs because I believe that the wild card will go to either. This is out there too, and everybody's going to call me crazy, and people may require me to take a urine analysis test. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm completely sober, everybody. I am sober. But I believe that because there's method to the madness. Tyrod Taylor does not he does not turn the ball over, and he has stronger weapons in Cleveland, believe it or not, than he did in Buffalo.
Right.
You have Josh Gordon, who has not gotten who is still playing on the rookie contract.
Right.
He's going to win his money.
Right.
And he has to take a year analysis test 3 times a week. So we're going to know. Hopefully he's sober.
Yes. All right. So quickly, NFC. I'll start it off. I'll go with the Falcons. I'll go with Minnesota. I'm not too sure about that. I'll say Green Bay in there. The North. That's Philadelphia. You got to go with Philadelphia and the Rams in the West.
NFC East, the Eagles are just too much for anybody in that division. NFC West, I'm going with the Rams. Like you said, NFC North, John, I think I agree with you down the board.
Okay.
NFC North, it'll be Green Bay. NFC South, it'll be the Falcons.
Wild card, Vikings, and I'm going to go a little different here. I think the Redskins might surprise.
Oh, wow, okay. All right. I'm going to go with Vikings and Panthers. I think
okay.
Carolina.
Let's see. I'm running with the NFC South. I'm going to pick the Falcons. I believe I'm looking at. I think it might be a replay of last year.
Really?
In the NFC. I mean, the NFC South. I think that 3 teams will be represented again in the playoffs out the NFC South.
Gotcha.
I'm not a believer in Kirk Cousins, and I believe that Aaron Rodgers will go off and not just take back his division, but he will snatch his division back by the collar.
Okay.
Will Jimmy Garoppolo come through? You don't think he's going to get into the playoffs?
No, I think they're a couple of playmakers away.
Yeah.
I think
they're about a year or two away. But they'll win 9 games. I give them 9 games.
So we're running with Seattle. That's going to take the NFC West.
You like the Seattle Seahawks?
I mean, over the Rams? No. I'm sober.
Okay,
I'm sober.
So he's got the
Rams. Running with the Rams, everybody. I mean, I just don't like the way the Rams. To be honest with you, the way the Rams lost in the playoffs last year, man, you don't let a team come 3,000 miles and spank you in your own stadium like they let the Falcons do. Yes, that's true. So I believe they're going to have a chip on the shoulder. So.
Exactly. Well, that's going to wrap us up for episode 2 of The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. I want to thank our guest, Tommy Palmer, host of the Georgia High School Scoreboard Show, heard on stations throughout the state of Georgia every Friday night from 10 to midnight. For
Leon Brown.
Daniel
Bolton,
who has the Atlanta Falcons winning it all this year.
All right, I'm John Morgo. Please, again, if you have any questions, comments, please hit us up. You can get me on Twitter at John_Morgo. We'll be with you next week, where we'll be discussing more hot topics around the world of sports and football in particular. Hopefully we'll have some guests and other analysis to talk about. So thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next week. This has been The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast.